Thank you, Madam Chair, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. I want to commend FAO and WHO for convening this important conference on nutrition. To be free from hunger and have access to adequate, safe, nutritious, and affordable food is a fundamental human right and equally important for being able to live a healthy life. For these reasons, a rights-based approach to food and nutrition security must figure prominently in the post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda. The FAO voluntary guidelines on the right to adequate food should be used actively by countries to fulfill this right of its citizens. Food scarcity and nutrition deficiency have lasting negative effects on children's ability to learn and will have lifelong consequences. Food and nutrition insecurity retard economic development. Conflicts and outbreaks of disease aggravate food and nutrition insecurity. Recent examples being the Syrian and South Sudan crisis and West Africa being affected by the Ebola outbreak. Madam Chair, malnutrition in its different forms continue to be a huge challenge in developing as well as developed country. And we do know what we need to do. We clearly need to become better nationally as well as globally to tackle the complex challenges of nutrition. Global reduction in stunting, wasting, and micronutrition deficiencies in children is too slow. Micronutrition deficiency has intergenerational impacts. To educate, in particular, the girl child and the expectant mother about nutrition is an investment in the family and in society. The 1,000 days opportunity from when a woman becomes pregnant to the child is 2 years old must be used to put in place policies and strategies to provide a child with a fair chance in life. Breastfeeding a baby in the first 6 months and beyond will give a child a solid and nutritious start in life, no matter where they live in the world. Addressing anemia in women and adolescent girls will improve the health of women and their children and improve their chance to reach their full potential. It all boils down to empowerment of women. This is one reason gender equality and access to education for teenage girls are such important parts of our post-2015 agenda. In 1992, we did not perceive the escalating burden of obesity and NDCs. Obesity is often due to consumption of unhealthy processed food, rich in saturated fats, salt, and sugar. WHO, with its normative global mandate, has recommendations for a healthy diet, for healthy lifestyles, and recommendations to regulate marketing of unhealthy foods and beverages to children. These recommendations must inform and translate into national policies and regulations to implement the ICN2 decisions. Government must involve stakeholders, including civil society organizations and private sector, to make this a reality. We know incentives like taxes and duties can change consumer behavior. It happened with tobacco use in my own country. Recent national nutrition measures include updating national nutrition guidelines based on the Nordic recommendations. Furthermore, a white paper on public health will be presented to the Norwegian Parliament in the spring of 2015. The white paper will take a broad cross-sectoral approach and will encompass nutrition in public health perspective. Last month, the Committee on World Food Security agreed to give fish the position it deserves in food security and nutrition strategies and programs. The CFS high-level expert report emphasizes that fish is strikingly missing from strategies for reduction of micronutrition deficiency, precisely where it could potentially have the largest impact. The qualities of fish are not fully recognized in global food security and nutrition. Even though fish can provide important micronutrients to vulnerable groups, pregnant and breastfeeding women and children, this fact is not adequately taken on board in the ICN2 outcome documents. This is regrettable and needs to be rectified in the follow-up. Madam Chair, we must work across sectors professions and with all stakeholders to successfully promote the global agenda, and the FAO and WHO must take the lead. We must act smart and realize that we will not reach our goals for improved nutrition unless we take fully into account the impact of climate change. Only then can we feed a growing world population with a sustainable as well as a healthy diet. Policies to address healthy and sustainable food systems, food loss and waste, and policies for climate-smart agriculture are important steps to this end. Public-private partnership initiatives, such as the Stordalen EAT initiative, presented at the preparatory technical meeting last year, are positive, needed, and encouraged. Finally, Madam Chair, ICN2 comes at an important moment when we chart a course for the Sustainable Development Agenda beyond 2015. Let us make full use of this opportunity at the global, regional, and national levels to realize the vision of a zero hunger and adequate, safe, nutritious, and affordable food for all. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.